Giving all praises to God, recognizing our own minister, Andrew Harrison, to our deacons, trustees, brothers and sisters, family, friends, and visitors and guests this morning. We are truly grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come together on this Sunday to worship his name. We're living in a world full of chaos, full of trauma and drama. But yet God has allowed us to come together one more time. We're grateful for the singing of the choir this morning. Amen. Amen. And we're grateful. We love the chandeliers, but on today like today, when you can't be cold, at least you can be cozy. And so we do thank you for worshiping with us on this St. John's Day. We would like to call your attention to the Gospel of St. John. St. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. I'll be reading from the NIV. Please follow it. Whatever version that you have. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of John, these words are recorded. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaf, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." We read into your hearing John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. We simply want to tag this text, brown, greasy bag. Brown. Seems like I ain't going to be long here with the text and the subject, y'all. The miracle of feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels. This event where Jesus miraculously feeds a crowd, a multitude of thousands, with only a few loaves of bread and fish. It is documented in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, dedicated to demonstrating Jesus as the Messiah, the King of Kings, that was prophesied long ago. And like Moses, he cares and he supplies for his people. in the Gospel of Mark, it records the same story so that he could show that Jesus is the suffering servant who gives the people just what they need. In the Gospel of Luke, he is shown as God's best man and concerned about the whole man, not only the spiritual, but also the spirit. And here he demonstrates his concern for our needs. In the Gospel of John, John uses this story to demonstrate God and Jesus as the Word of God and the one who provides what we need. All four Gospels, distinctive in themselves, give a perspective on Jesus' life, ministry, and teachings. They each show Jesus in a different light so that we can see him in his fullness. In the Gospel of John, it was written last after the Synoptic Gospels had been written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke was already in circulation when John put pen to paper. And so John decides to use this story without giving us a lot of the details that are recorded in the other three Gospels. John shows the same scene. It's been a long day. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and sharing with the people, and it has gone past time to eat. They was in a desert place. There was no place nearby for them to go and buy food for themselves. In the midst of this crowd, in the midst of Jesus' ministry, there is something stirring backstage. Backstage, the disciples will begin to scramble. We need to wrap this up. We need to have benediction. We need to let these people go so that they may find food. In the midst of this situation, in the midst of this backstage problem, Jesus turned to the disciples and says to them, "You give them something to need." That's ministry. Ministry at its core is having a problem and trying to meet it. It's seeing the needs of the people and trying to address them. First thing we need to point out is the problem. The problem is twofold. The problem that many of us face in our lives is a problem of too many and not enough. It's too many people and not enough bread. Many of us experience that a little differently. We have too many bills and not enough bread. Some of us, we have too many family members who are not independent enough, and we don't have the resources to provide for them. We live in an age of too much and not enough. I remember years ago I was having one of those situations where I had too much bills and not enough income. I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you can bless me. You can trust me with too much money. I'll be faithful if you send me too much. I'm grateful that you're sending me enough, but I'll be faithful if you gave me too much." I'd like to try it on that side of the ledger one time. Just one time in my life, I'd like to have too much money and not enough bills. But alas, the story is to teach us how the church can meet the needs that are too great for us even to meet ourselves. It was a problem of too many people and not enough resources. It's the same problem that the church faces today. Believers face this too much and not enough. We have too much to do and not enough time. We have too much work and not enough laborers. We have too much and not enough. In John chapter 6, Jesus is emphasized and shown to be the very bread of life. Imagine approaching Jesus with a problem, telling the bread of life, "We don't have enough bread." You're telling the one who has supplied all of our needs. He gives us our daily bread. The disciples goes to him and tell him we don't have enough bread. Sometimes the problem for us is seeing the problem as Jesus sees the problem. The problem with us is we see it from our own perspective, and we seldom see it from the Lord's perspective. See, this problem of too many and not enough, the disciples saw different possibilities than Jesus. When they saw this problem, the first possibility that they saw as a solution was send them away. Their first order of business, their first agenda item, the first thing that they came up when they saw this crowd, they said, send them away. It was 5,000. The record says it was over 5,000 men, not including women and children. Some biblical experts have estimated up to 25,000 people was assembled. They had too many people and not enough to meet the need. They even gave a treasurer report. They even gave the report that if we spent everything in the treasury, it still wouldn't be enough for them to have a small bite. They even gave account. The disciples went and spoke with one another and came back with the best course of action, the best possibility to get out of this situation is to send them on their way. The possibility to deal with this problem was brought forth by the disciples to simply to get rid of it. And isn't that the solution for some of us today? Some of us, we think if we can just get rid of the problem, everything will be all right. I mean, if I eliminated all of the problems in my life, life will be grand. I come by today to tell you, brothers and sisters, you will never, ever get done with problems. Problems are a part of this life. And Job tells us life is filled with trouble. There will always be problems. There will always be trouble. There will always be situations where you have too many and not enough. But thanks be to God that Jesus specialized in solving that particular problem. Oh, Jesus has a track record of dealing with the too much and too many and not enough problem. Yes, when the children of Israel was out in the wilderness, they had a too many hungry people and not enough bread. And there he rained manna from heaven. Yes, Jesus, the Lord, God himself, is able to solve our too many and not enough problem. There will be situations that are engineered by God to bring us face to face with situations of deficits so that we might view God's sufficiency as our only recourse. They had possibilities. They had the possibility of sending them away. They had the possibility of counting their own treasury and trying to meet the need. But every problem is an opportunity to trust the Lord and watch him step into our circumstances to reveal his glory. Simply put, every test is a precursor for a testimony. Every problem is a precursor for a praise. Every situation of suffering is just a precursor for a song on our heart. They had real possibilities. The possibility to deal with this crowd. I like the way John puts it when Jesus asked the disciple to solve this problem, to be part of the solution. He tells him, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? John goes on to give a bit of commentary. He goes on to suggest that Jesus asked this only to test him. for he already knew what he was going to do. Whatever problem that we have, part of our solution and the possibilities is we have to count on Jesus. When we look at our problems and the possibilities, we have to put Jesus in the equation. For John reminds us that he already knew. Before Jesus opened up that morning, he already knew he was going to have a problem. Before Jesus began to teach them, he already knew he was going to have a problem. When Jesus began to preach and minister to them, he already knew what he was going to do. Maybe I'll help somebody right now that have confusion about tomorrow. Maybe you're wondering about an exam. Maybe you're wondering about a procedure. I want you to know that Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Just because he has not revealed it to you, it just might be he already knows. And he's putting you to the test. He tried him. He tested him because he already knew what he was going to do. And what Jesus does, it requires the disciples' obedience. He tells them, make them to sit down in companies of hundreds and fifty. Now imagine the disciples sitting people down and they asking them questions. Jesus is no longer teaching. Jesus is no longer ministering. He's no longer preaching. They're just out there. And now the disciples are putting them in groups. You know, sometimes we got to work by faith. We got to work and trust and believe that what the Lord has commanded us to do. If we do what he say do, he will work it out. You know, some people are looking for new marching orders. Oh, they hoping to get new directions. And I tell them, well, start with the ones in the book. Before God sends you a fresh revelation, start with the ones in the book. It's plenty of fresh revelations in the book. Jesus, this problem and this possibility, Jesus already knew. And if you trust him, know that he already has plans for the problem. Hence they had a problem, and then a probe went out. Part of the search for an answer, they began to probe the crowd. And Andrew, in common Andrew form, he brings a small lad to Jesus. There ought to be an Andrew society. Because Andrew is known for bringing people to Jesus. There ought to be an Andrew of the Year Award. Who brought the most people? Andrew, in chapter 1, he brought Simon to Jesus. In chapter 6, he brings this little lad to Jesus. In chapter 12, he brings the Greeks, a couple of Greeks that were looking for the Lord. He brings them to Jesus. Andrew continues to bring people to Jesus. Knowing that Jesus is able to use anybody. If Jesus is able to use Peter, surely he can use this little lad. But note, Andrew gives a sad commentary. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? See, even though Andrew was bringing people to the Lord, Andrew wasn't perfect. Even though Andrew kept bringing people to the Lord, Andrew didn't have all the answers. Even though Andrew kept bringing people to the Lord, he didn't have the solutions. But Andrew knew that bringing people to the Lord, it's the Lord that can bring the answers. It's the Lord that can bring the solutions. It's the Lord that can fix any problem. And it's this little lad's lunch becomes the solution to this problem. It's in this brown, greasy bag that Jesus used to bless the multitude. It's from this brown, greasy bag that somebody had prepared, that somebody had lovingly thought about this boy and made sure he had a bite to eat. We don't know if he had any money in his pocket, but we do know that he had 5 barley loaves and two fish that he could eat for himself. He had enough for a little boy's lunch. Somebody had planned for it. Somebody had prepared it for him. Somebody had placed it inside a brown bag, and now in the heat, that brown bag had turned greasy. They scrambled and looked around to see who they can find to help them, and all they found was a little lad with a brown, greasy bag. Third and finally, let us consider the prospect. We saw the problem. It's too many and not enough. We saw the possibilities to send them away or feed them ourselves. Now let's look at the prospects. We have to admit that the prospects were dim. The means that the little lad had was small at best. It keeps getting smaller the older we get, too. I mean, when I was little, it seemed like it was a loaf of bread and a couple of fish, regular-sized fish. Now it's sardines and crackers. Like he was hauling around two whales in a basket. It keep getting smaller and smaller. I guess that to make the miracle bigger and bigger, I guess, you know. He was able to expand it. But the prospects are slim. All he has is a little boy, a youth between the age of 6 and 12. And from the viewpoint of a social position, the prospects were poor. And yet, in relation to God, the prospect was willing to be used by God. And brothers and sisters, whatever age we are, when we are able and willing to be used by God, he can perform a miracle through us. It's when we make ourselves accessible to him that he can work a miracle in our lives. This reminded of a story. It was a revival, and temp revival, and all week long they've been preaching Jesus. Accept Jesus in your heart. Accept Jesus in your life. Give your life to the Lord. On this Friday, it was a little boy. He was being convicted all week, and he was planning on giving his life to the Lord in the invitation. But that Friday, they had an offering, and they started passing the offering plate through the church. And the little boy thought he was poor. He patted his pockets. He didn't have no coins. He didn't have anything to put in the offering. And so when they passed the offering plate to him, he took the offering plate and sat it in the aisle. And then he went and sat in the offering plate. And he threw up his hands. He said, I give my all unto the Lord. And I come by today to tell you, I don't care how much silver and gold in your pocket. He wants your all unto the Lord. I don't care what's in your checking and savings account. He wants your all. When we give our all unto the Lord, he's able to perform a miracle in our lives. It's not how much you have. It's in our recognition that all that we have belongs to him. And if I turn it over to the Lord, that he will work it out. This little boy, he gave Jesus his whole lunch. He didn't give him four biscuits and one sardine. He gave him both sardines and all five biscuits. He gave his all to the Lord. He passed it over. And don't you see the exchange? This little lad standing there with his brown, greasy bag. And now he has to pass it over to the Lord. He's been holding on to that basket since he left home early that morning. He's been watching that basket, seeing everybody else without food, and thinking about how he can slip away and eat his two little sardines and five biscuit loaves. But now he has to pass it over to the Lord. There comes a point in time in a desert place, in a solitude place, in a place set apart one-on-one, you're going to have to make that pass to the Lord. Oh, every one of us individually and personally, we're going to have to turn it over to the Lord. Some of my greatest times that I gave it over to the Lord wasn't at church. Oh, it wasn't at the kitchen table. Oh, it was down by my bed, down on my knees when I gave it over to the Lord just so that he can work it out. Well, from this greasy bag, we get an object lesson. We get an object lesson on faith. If we turn it over to the Lord, that he will multiply. The little lad gave his lunch over to the Lord. Little hand placed it into the master's hand. He gave what was just enough for him. He gave it over to the Lord. And the Lord took it. And the scripture said, like in the communion, he gave thanks over it. He took that old brown, greasy bag and thanked the Lord for it. He thanked Lord that somebody was willing to surrender their all on that day. And once he took hold of that bag, the scripture said he started breaking the bread and started breaking the fish and started passing it out. The more he break, the more he passed out. The more he break, he kept passing it out. In his hands, the fish began to multiply. In his hand, two fish turned into three fish. And three fish turned into six fish. And six fish turned into 12 fish. He kept multiplying in his hands. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is still the bread of life. He's still the great I am. He's still the Lord of lords. He's still the King of kings. Give your lunch in his hands. And watch him multiply. Watch him take it and thank God for it. What you think is meager is much in the hands of God. They put nails in his hands and he built a bridge between heaven and earth. They drove rivets in his feet and he gave us a pathway into heaven. Put it all in his hand. Follow the example of this lad, this little boy, and this brown, greasy bag, he gave it over to the Lord, and he performed the greatest miracle, the feeding of the multitude, that all four Gospels had to write of it. And even after Peter stumbled in the walking on water, Jesus brings it back up. Jesus said, didn't you remember the feeding of the multitude? Whatever challenge you're going through, remember this. Whatever problem you have, remember this. Whatever obstacle is in your way, remember this. Give it over to the Lord and watch him work it out. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we're going to give someone that very same opportunity as our ushers and deacons and greeters come. We're going to extend to somebody right now that you can come and give your life to the Lord. I know you think you just have two fish and five loaves, but put it in Jesus' hands. If you're online watching, put a comment. We will be sure to reach out to you. We don't want this day to pass without you knowing that you can give your life to the Lord. And if you're saved but don't have a church home, we invite you to Ebenezer, where we'll work together.
We offer Christ to you.
Serve together.
Oh, my brother.
Love together.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
Every believer.
He will give you brand new life. Through life abundantly. Come on. Come on to Christ. We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh.
man. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept or reject. May God be a blessing in your lives.